Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Welcome back to Crusader Talk here on this Monday, live on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3, on demand in podcast form, wherever you get your podcasts. Caleb Hamill, Josh West, Will Tony with you here for another edition, talking baseball, a little tennis, recapping homecoming weekend, and looking ahead to the week that we have in athletics. A lot of competitions on the road this week. Sans a softball series at home to be the end cap. But still action nonetheless going on in the world of William Carey sports. And to start us off on the show, Josh, we have a special guest to welcome on the phone. Line coach Bobby Halford joins us here in recapping last weekend as Blue Mountain Christian came into town for homecoming weekend. Coach, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Doing fine. Well, simply put, the weekend just did not go the way that we had all hoped it would have. As the Crusaders drop a pair of contests, salvage the final game of the series, losing 19-5 on Friday, losing the first game of the doubleheader 11-9, and then winning 10-7 on game three. Let's kind of start chronologically as we look back at game one. A very strange game at times. You know, you have Andrew Shira having a couple more walks than what we're used to seeing from him. Good two-out hitting from Blue Mountain Christian. Then some theatrics of two different guys getting ejected, one from each team at different times in that ball game. You look up, and the final score is what it is, and you gathered your team out there in the outfield, kind of like a come-to-Jesus meeting. I know you can't share in full detail, you know, all that was disclosed there, but what was the general motif, if you will, that you presented to those guys exiting that ball game?
Well, I think after the little dust up that we had, you know, their best player was hit, and it was not intentional. Our guy actually stumbled and fell as he threw the ball, and that kind of got them fired up. That got them going, and we just kind of sat there and let it happen. I think I'm not saying we backed down, but that just kind of got them going, and it just kind of snowballed, and we kept bringing in different guys, and it just didn't. They swung the bats really well, and it just kind of snowballed on us, and that's what happened.
You know, we always say in the world of baseball, I think Ron Polk was famous for saying that hitting is contagious, and I feel like that's exactly what happened. And we all knew Blue Mountain Christian coming into the weekend was a good batting team, number one in the conference in that regard. But to explode for 16 hits in that first game, it really lit their fire, not just for that first game, but kind of moving forward as well. But one thing that stood out to me before we kind of jump further into the inner details of these games were for the guys kind of moving forward on your team on this season, you really kind of had to lay out the line of what you have left to play for. You've got a big series coming up. At the time, you still had two more games against Blue Mountain Christian and a national tournament hope that is still within reach. What was kind of that takeaway that you hoped your guys left the ball field Friday night with?
Well, I think that you know, everything's still out in front of you, and you still control everything about what you do in making the postseason and getting going beyond. And I think that the experience that these guys have had is going to really bode well for us. And I really feel good about, you know, some of these kids. And we've battled injuries all year. I mean, if you go back and see how many different lineups we put out there, I don't know how many teams across baseball could do that and be consistent day in and day out. And so many times we kind of lose sight of that. I mean, you lose three starters, sometimes four, and you're playing a game that's got nine. I mean, that's big. I mean, that'd be like football, but they don't have your roster or whatever. So in baseball, it's such a game of repetition, and being able – we've had some bad luck in midweek games this year getting canceled and with weather and that type thing. So getting out there and getting those repetitions and getting confidence and sometimes it's hurt us because we're going weekend to weekend. And a lot of times guys get started swinging the bat real well and then all of a sudden you got to wait. But I think a lot of the injuries have really hurt us. But I think we're going to be better for it because we've got some guys that are coming back now. And, you know, we found out today that one of our better players is, you know, is having trouble with his vision. He needs to wear contacts. He needs to wear glasses. And that's the type of thing that he was complaining, you know, at night, not having trouble seeing the ball. So just things like that. So many times we don't think about that, especially people out that are not close to the situation. You really know the different things that are going on with your team.
Coach, this is Josh. I was really impressed with Ben when he was in studio in recent weeks and was just talking about how much that you and him enjoyed the ebbs and flows of this season. I think a lot of times outside looking in, you'd think, well, it's been a challenging season. It's not been maybe meeting expectations, but it's been the challenge to fill out a roster card and to put pieces in the right place. And it's that excitement that trying to figure it out and go through the course of the season that after all these years, you still love about the game of baseball and love being the head coach of William Carey.
Sure. I mean, that's a challenge. And I'm really looking forward to this week and next week. I mean, you know, we're going into at Loyola and, you know, basically we win 2 out of 3 games, we come in second, and we set ourselves up pretty good for the tournament and beyond. And so that's what you play for all year, and it's how you're playing down the stretch that really matters. And that's something that we look to the next game. I mean, those games were behind us, and we played really well at times. When we have our lineup out there that we really feel like is our strongest lineup, then we have a chance to play with anybody. Now, getting those guys all out there, and we just lost our second baseman probably this week. He tweaked his hamstring again, and he's just now getting back. After missing 3 weeks or so, you know, 4 weeks, we have our catcher. He's hitting .352 right now, Brayden Coffey. He just came back from concussions. And so, you know, when you get them all out there, you have a good lineup out there. And you feel good about what you can do.
Coach, I may be jumping ahead, but then Caleb can bring it back here at the end. We've got just a couple of minutes left already. But you mentioned playing well and trying to be the 2 seed and then going into next week into pool play. You've got a chance to be at the top of your pool. Are you excited about this pool play format in the league this year? Is this something that you think can benefit the Crusaders?
Yeah, I think this year for us especially can. I mean, in the past, maybe not as much. You kind of like the idea going into a double elimination tournament that you can actually lose a game and then come back and do the loser's bracket and win a tournament. So that's something that I've always liked. And with pool play, it's a little different. But at the same time, with 11 teams, you know, 8 teams going into this tournament, you know, it kind of – you know how many games you're going to play. And you're not going to have to play a long tournament and get strung out with that. And sometimes a team that goes through that and actually gets the loser's bracket and comes back and wins the tournament, they kind of have a disadvantage starting off in a regional. And, you know, you think about Ole Miss and those teams in the SEC, they got knocked out early a few times with, you know, in the conference tournament. Next thing you know, they turn and get healthy and play really well, win a national championship. So that's always something that's good about being able to play pool play.
Yeah, and the way it works, just to, you know, let everybody know, 8 teams go to the conference tournament. They are setting up 2 different pools of 4, in which the winner of each pool, it's a little round robin tournament. You play 3 games, and then the winner of those pools will play in 1 single championship game. So you're guaranteed to play a max of 4, minimum of 3 if you're in the conference tournament. And like you say, Coach Hallford, it really eliminates the possibility of what Carey faced last year after they lost their opening game against Blue Mountain Christian. They made the run all the way to the tournament championship game, but were completely gassed with pitching. And it kind of made things a little harder to recover for come the opening round. But I think you and I talked about one big difference, and that's that pool play doesn't really set your club up for the double elimination tournament that you face in the opening round and then Lewiston.
Yeah, of course, going back to last year, we knew we were the team we had that we were going to host a regional. So the conference tournament was basically, you know, as a tune-up, so to speak, and you kind of held back and we pitched backwards a little bit and we didn't pitch our number one the first game, and then when you lose that, you know, you're fighting. So, but at the same time, the incentive was not as great as, let's say, someone that's fighting to get to those tournaments, you know, and that type thing. So there's different scenarios that you deal with throughout within tournaments. And I like to go the best at, you know, the first game and win that first game and get in the winner's bracket. But, you know, it's different in all the different tournaments. But this tournament, you know you're going to play, like you're saying, at least three games and possibly four. So that's what it's all about.
And all that matters for any of the teams there in Jackson, Tennessee this year is just make it out of your pool, and that way you're guaranteed a spot in the national tournament. Well, Coach, even before that, we got to see the Crusaders face Loyola with a chance for the winner of the series to secure the number 2 seed, though they'll both be in the same pool when all is said and done at the end of this regular season. We look forward to seeing how the Crusaders try to bounce back from these last two series and possibly finish the regular season on a high note.
Yeah, hopefully, the experience that we've had over the last couple of years, especially these guys that are seniors and that type thing, will bode well for us as we play this week, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. We're running out of time here for this first segment, but we'll catch up with you again in the near future. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, that is Coach Bobby Hallford, head man of the baseball team at William Carey University. When we come back, we'll kind of recap a little bit of his conversation and also look ahead to some more of William Carey baseball, softball, and a whole lot more as Crusader Talk continues.
The coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on. You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Well, thanks to Coach Hallford for joining us for the first segment of Crusader Talk this evening. As we continue on, Josh, I want to pick up in that conversation. Yeah, thinking about pool play. Ben and I, and you were part of this too in the coverage. That's when you kind of jumped on board, you know, with the Crusaders last year. Was covering that conference tournament at Milton Wheeler. But you kind of remember the grind that we as broadcasters went through, but also the teams involved went through. And we were saying throughout the latter portions of that tournament that this thing is too long being true double elimination for a conference tournament.
Sure.
Like, you look at some of the other tournaments that are out there, they're not always true double elimination. Omaha's not true double elimination, except for double elimination in portions.
Well, so essentially what you were having in the conference tournament was a mini Omaha. The conference tournament. Are we talking about the opening round?
Well, I was talking about conference tournament.
Yeah, so it was a mini Omaha because you had two side-by-side four-team double elimination brackets going. That's a lot of baseball.
Well, and that's the thing. It wasn't two double elimination brackets that converged into one. It was one big eight-team double elimination bracket.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Meaning you have an if-necessary game at the end, possibly. So you, though, are thinking exactly what I thought at the end of last year. And I'm pretty sure this is what the Red River Conference does. That or the Sooner Conference, one of the two. They have two separate brackets that are double elimination. In fact, where they play their tournament, they play at two different sites for the two sides of the bracket. And then conversion to one field for the final championship game. With that, you go through your entire double elimination part with each sets of four teams. And then you play one championship game. You don't worry about the if-necessary stuff. One team may have played less games. One team may have played more. Doesn't matter. You both made it to the championship game, and you put it all out there for that one big showdown. And it reminds me a little bit of what Omaha has gone through over the years.
Sure.
You know, now in NCAA Division I, you have, for the entire tournament, you have a four-team double elimination bracket followed by a best-of-three series. So that would be regional and then super regional. Then you get to Omaha, and you have a reiteration of that. You have two sets of four that do double elimination. Then you play a three-game series for the championship game.
I love it.
And I love the way they do that. I don't think there is enough time nor depth for NAIA to do it quite that way. But at the same time, I think a version of that is what the SSA should have gone through. Getting tongue-tied there. But they moved to this pool play thing, and I've never in my life seen pool play used for baseball at this level of competition. high school and above, I've never heard of pool play being used in a tournament that is postseason. Maybe there's some like early, you know, Gulf Shores tournament type
Conference
things.
USA.
I can't remember the last time I saw high school do it.
So hey, Conference USA has done it before?
Conference USA has they done did. It before. Yeah,
they did. Yeah. But and, I don't remember high school ever doing that.
No. Well, and the biggest thing for pool play is, again, like Coach Hallford mentioned, you know exactly that you're either playing three or four games if you make it to the championship game.
Right.
That sets you up for how you want to pitch. You can either choose to do your true Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, type of lineup, your game one, game two, game three, because we play doubleheaders usually.
Sure.
And then Johnny Holstaff, the fourth game.
Right.
Or you can take the risk and throw your midweek guy in there. Because, too, the tournament's going to start on a Wednesday. And nobody gets a bye. Everybody starts on Wednesday.
There'll well, then you throw your games. Midweek guy on Wednesday.
Quite possibly. But to think about it, you are more than likely going to face your worst opponent if you're a higher seed on day one. So for Cary, that might make sense. But let's think about what Faulkner's probably going to go through. By the way, Blue Mountain Christian has to win their series this weekend against Tennessee Southern to even make it to the conference tournament. They just decided to come to William Carey and play with their hair on fire.
Aren't there essentially six teams in the league with like 27-plus wins?
Quite possibly. Blue Mountain's one of those, if memory serves right. You could be looking that up.
Yeah, but Blue Mountain's got 27.
But with Blue Mountain playing the way they're playing right now, do you think Faulkner wants to throw their midweek guy against them?
You can't.
I don't think you can afford to. Mm. And that's the plus of how the schedule is set up for this weekend, by the way. Not a Friday-Saturday series. They're playing Thursday and Friday instead.
Okay.
So things are slightly moved up this week so that, again, next week they'll slightly move up again. So you're just operating on one day less of rest 2 weeks in a row if you wanted to keep that game one starter in there. So overall records across the SSAC, as Josh turns the monitor my way, of the top teams in the SSAC, seven of the eight have overall records of 20 wins or more. And of those teams, the top four all have 27 or more. Mobile, oddly enough, is fifth in the conference, but they have a 16-18 record. Middle Georgia State at an even 500, 21-21. Thomas with 27 wins. Blue Mountain Christian with 27 wins. But Blue Mountain's tied with UT Southern for eighth in the conference with an 11-16 conference record. That is because they have all of their losses being in conference play. So I don't know if that means they played an easy non-conference schedule or if maybe they just started hitting some bumps in the road when they got to conference play. But however you want to draw it up, that's the way the conference tournament's going to shake out. It's going to be seeds 1, 8, 5, and 6, I believe, that are going to be in one pool, and then the other seeds are going to be in the opposite side. Cary is going to be, with all likelihood, either the 2 or the 3 seed. They will play on the opposite side of Faulkner. One advantage of being the 2 seed over the 3 seed is your chances at an at-large if you don't get the automatic qualifier, just because it would be hard for the committee to decide to give a 3 seed of a conference an at-large versus a 2. But all in all, like we pointed out before, if you finish and make it to the conference tournament game, you're automatically in the national tournament. And that's what matters the most, is winning those first 3 games, and then you're playing with house money for a championship.
How much does the bow chip, essentially the NAIA RPI, how much does that play into the committee?
It weighs as much as RPI does in the NCAA.
Okay, so right now William Carey is sitting at 25. What does that number need to be at? Because we're thinking 64 get into the tournament. That's not the number.
No, it's
so
not.
What is that RPI or bow chip with, you know, Loyola being 16 in that same poll? What does Cary need to have that at in a couple of weeks?
So if memory serves right, 45 teams make it to the NAIA tournament. Of those 45 teams, I'd have to go back and remember how many automatic qualifiers there are, but they quickly dissipate. Your at-large bid numbers are very low, so they have to be meaningful. I want to say there may be 8 So you're kind of at the mercy of who gets upset in conference tournament championships. How did other leagues present their automatic qualifiers? There's a lot that goes into it. But right now, William Carey has fallen off the wagon as far as their most recent two series to teams that are towards the bottom of the conference, Mobile and Blue Mountain Christian.
And it hasn't hurt them in the what would be the boat chip, the RPI of the NAIA. Right now, though, you have Mobile sitting at 47. You've got Faulkner at 30. You've got Loyola at 16. So three games against a 16 in the RPI matchup. If you win that series on the road, that is huge.
It's a big deal. Yeah.
Big time. And again, to reiterate, Caleb, what you're saying, it's all about getting that 2 seed to get you a 2-7 matchup in pool play. And then you're in that, and then you're opposite of the bracket of Faulkner and one of the hottest teams. You also be opposite, I think, one of the hottest teams in Point, who's won 10 in a row as a 4 seed in that 4-5 matchup. And the other side is where they're going to be. But it's about winning that pool. Yeah. It's about winning. It's about those three games in that tournament, because if you can get to that championship, you're in. Two-bid league, you're in. And that's all Carey needs is, I think, an opportunity to hit the reset button in the tournament. They're going to feel that in the conference tournament, certainly. But there might even be as much pressure, more pressure in that conference tournament than the double elimination regional.
I'm glad you got the math right, by the way. I don't know why those seeds always escape me. 1, 4, 5, and 8 in one side. 2, 3, 6, and 7 in the other side.
Correct.
But –
and for a numbers guy like Caleb, that can just be maddening.
So many numbers just rattling in my head. Speaking of number 7 is one that comes to mind, because there was a big 7-on-7 tournament played for soccer this weekend, and Clayton Rush got to participate. His team actually won the whole 7-on-7 tournament.
When is his knee surgery?
Hey, he scored a goal.
When is his knee surgery?
he also had some pretty good teammates, by the way.
Yeah, they kind of mixed some of the traditional players on the varsity squad as well as the alumni. He played with an old teammate, Renato Batista, and then also he got paired with some guy named Jamie Wynn and Roberto Rangel and some others. Just run-of-the-mill guys.
Yeah. Really. Stacked that team. It's unfair. It's like the NBA these days.
Oh, Gio Soares, that's another one that was on that team. Goodness. But they had a good time out there, and I got to watch some of that. It was good. While the rain started to drizzle into the park, it was still okay. We actually had the family out there to watch it. All right, when we come back, I had an interview with Coach Mark Lux talking about men's and women's tennis. Men securing the SSAC regular season title and have the SSAC tournament on the horizon. That coming up for you next.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Back here as we continue Crusader Talk on this Monday evening. Glad you're with us. I was watching Oh Brother, Where Art Thou the other day, Josh, and I was inspired. You know, here, Pappy O'Daniel, he had the flower hour as he was campaigning for another term as governor. He said, they don't do all that, you know, handshaking politicking. We're mass communicating as he's walking into the radio station. Oh.
But also, I am a man of constant sorrow, and I've seen trouble all my days. So,
Love that song, by the way. Soggy Bottom Boys.
Fun story about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, George Clooney actually tried to do the singing on that. When they were recording it, and the producers were just like, yeah, we're going to go with Dan Tominski.
Good choice, man. That turned out great. Great soundtrack. I've got that on vinyl, actually.
Yeah.
Earlier, I have no segue for that, by the way. That is just a cold transition. But Mark Lux, head coach of the men's and women's tennis teams at William Carey, joined me earlier today. Just to tee it up, Crusaders have been on a tear on the men's side, winning an SSAC regular season championship. Women right now are placed 3rd in the conference standings ahead of tournament play coming up this week. We've been trying to get him on for a little while, but he's got a commitment that prevents him from coming into the studio most Monday nights. I hope to actually get to visit with them after the tournament, depending on how the results go. I hope we have a Coach Ryan McKenzie situation on our hands. We're visiting with us results in good results at conference tournaments. But we spoke earlier today on the phone, and this is what that conversation sounded like. Right back in the thick of things like they were a year ago. Tell us a little bit about, first of all, this conference championship club that you have on the men's side.
Yeah, we won for the third time in a row the conference regular season championship. I feel we have a very experienced team. We had some good players who joined the team. Actually a transfer from Southern Miss, fifth year senior, which Anton Audran, he made a big difference for our team. And then we have also some young talent, Tim Louis Steinbichler from Germany. And he's playing six right now and also found his way into the lineup and playing very good tennis. So I think we have a good mix of experience and then some young blood who still have to learn a lot but are talented. And that match kind of helped us win the regular season. And also currently we are on a 10 win win streak, which is also pretty good. Seeing the schedule we have, you know, we beat four top 10 teams, pretty convincing, and also some other good ranked teams in the NIA.
You know, Coach, it feels like last time we spoke, we had mentioned just how competitive your women's team was with very few healthy players there towards the end of the season. Now, what has changed for that group going from last year into this year?
I think we are playing a very similar season compared to last year, starting in the fall. Last year, Jordan, she won the regular season championship in singles and then did really, really well at the national tournament, finishing fifth. And this year we had Victoria Wieten, freshman from Germany, who won the regular season championship this fall. And then she also just lost to the number one in the nation and finished fifth during the year. She was actually ranked number two in the nation in singles. So we had a similar start, and then we had a lot of wins. The girls have 9 ranked wins versus top 25 teams, which is great. But similar to last year, we dealt with some injuries to a certain time right around the conference tournament. I remember last year having a bad loss to Blue Mountain, kind of, and some others. And we had to really regroup and did that during the tournament and won it. And we're in a similar situation. We had a lot of wins, but right before conference, some injuries. And we had now 4 losses in a row, actually, against good teams. All top 10 teams, but a lot of matches, 4-3, and we had match points to clinch it and just didn't pull through. But I'm confident, based on last year, that we can turn it around and have a realistic shot to win the conference and defeat our title. A lot is up to the girls. We are very, very talented, and often they put themselves in a position to win a match and lose it mentally. It's not that they get beat by an opponent, but more so starting to do double faults, nerves kick in. So now in postseason, I told them it's all about competing. You don't have to play your best tennis in order to win, but you need to be competing your best. So hopefully they play with a lot of confidence and compete well. And if they do that, we have a very good chance to repeat our tournament championship on a woman.
You know, you mentioned how the women are currently on a 4-game losing streak. That is not the same story on your men's team. 10 straight matches in a row, a close one most recently against Xavier down in New Orleans, winning 4-3. I believe I saw somewhere that is their first home match loss in something in the 30s matches or some odd.
I think 39 matches. I think their last was actually against us in April 2018. So
wow.
They hadn't lost in 6 years. We beat them at the beginning of the year 4-1 at home, and we played to clinch, but we were up even in the other two courts, so it easily could have been a 6-1 if we played out. We knew at their place it's a different story, but the guys have a lot of confidence, and it was really nice to see, especially we got beat pretty good in doubles at number 1-6-0, at number 2-6-1. So we didn't have momentum in doubles. And even in some matches, we were down 2-5, three set points down, actually on two courts. But somehow we always find a way with belief, the way how the season goes. They just believe in each other, they support each other, and they pulled it out. We had Noah win 7-6 in the third set. We had Antoine winning the clinching match 6-3. We had Matt 2-5 down. He turned it into a 7-6, 6-3. Phil was up a set and down 2-5, faced set points, and he turned it into a 7-6. So what we're lacking on the women's side, that competitive spirit, playing without fear, believing in yourself, even if you're down, we have that on the guys. You know, those guys are really, really locked in. Are not afraid in big moments to take their chances. And going into this conference tournament, we have to continue playing like this, because if we lose our competitive spirit, if we think, oh, it's going to be easy, it can backfire us easily. So, you know, some teams change their lineup, so they're not necessarily playing the same opponent. So we have to see how matches go, you know. But the goal for the team is to win another tournament championship, for sure.
Absolutely, and I can understand why you have that thought of it's easy to get caught up in all the successes you've had this season going into this conference tournament. It's a mindset you have to stay competitive, because I look at all the score finishes this year, and you've only given up 2 points all year to SSAC teams. You beat Middle Georgia State 6-1, Mobile 6-1, and the rest were 7-point sweeps all year long. And you face Point to start off in this conference tournament. And I'll open this question up to both the men's side and the women's side. Conference tournament ahead of us, and the national picture still in view for both teams. You know, what's it going to take for both of these teams to set themselves up for the rest of the year?
Both, based on their wins, will not need a direct bye. They both will be at nationals. Every time you have a chance to win a championship, you're going for it. You know, it's not our priority always before the season. We focus more on the journey, about the daily work, the commitment, the team spirit. But if everybody follows that and has that competitive mindset, automatically we will always play for a championship. So once you play in one, you always try to win it. And I feel both teams have the opportunity, but it comes down to being the fierce competitor. Sometimes it's little stuff also. You know, we always, when we drive, we want to make them comfortable. We always stop at a certain restaurant and kind of like a treat for them. We make sure they stay in nice hotels, spaces, the rooms are bigger, you know, like, so they're comfortable. They know the courts, which is good, so it's not a surprise for them. We played very successful there. And, if you beat them during the season, the team 6-1, 7-0, you always got to be no humble, you know. Every day is a new day, so I tell my players, just because we beat them on one day, 6-1, doesn't mean it happens to be the next day, you know. They're going to be ready. They want to beat you, especially having a loss, so they gotta be always ready. They gotta not lose panic when they're maybe down 0-3 or have a bad start. Just trust your game and play point for point. And then it's of course in postseason you have to win the big points, you know, because a lot of matches not gonna be 6-1. I expect the final maybe to be a 4-3 or even if it's maybe clinched already, but close matches. So. But preparing them for that, I feel like they're going to be humbled and they're going to be ready. And the girls just need to believe in themselves. So once they do that, and like I said, play with courage and no fear, they will be ready to go. And then we can also live with the results. The hardest part is losing to yourself, you know, if you know like how talented we are and just in big moments, finding ways to lose and not to win. So that kind of hurts from outside as a coach. If you give everything and you lose, you have no regrets. But honestly, we're trying to win with both teams.
Well, Coach, I'll tell you, like I told Coach Ryan McKenzie, after we talked to him on the program, he came back with some SSAC tournament championships in tow. So hopefully we get to visit with you again, talking about how they performed this week at the conference championship. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Coach Mark Lux joining us, head coach of the men's and women's tennis teams. When we come back, we'll talk about a big title that got given to a Crusader athletic team over the past week, and also look ahead to what softball has to do to earn one themselves here in the regular season, as we have one more segment left of Crusader Talk. Stay with us.
Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Guys, I feel like it's to the point now in the show, at least in its history and longevity that it's sustained so far, we almost need to have a champions sound effect, whether it's for individual national champions or MVP or even SSAC champion, some kind of intro song or sound effect to play every time. I know Will's probably cooking something up to give us an example for one, but
I'm working on
one
it.
One shiny moment.
We could, man.
Let's see here.
Think about it, but you can hold it, keep it in the bank for just a second. Over this homecoming weekend, I had a doubleheader Saturday with Blue Mountain and William Carey baseball. In the middle of the second game, we had a lightning delay, and I was already scheduled at 5:30 to have to jet over to Tatum Court to MC the Hall of Fame Sports Hall of Fame banquet, which we honored, four great former athletes and one legacy inductee. Fantastic time out there. But all that considered, man, it was a full jam-packed day in which we got to hear from some really cool Crusader athletes. Tan Montgomery, former softball player, Tori John, former basketball player, and a couple others. I'm sorry for losing them a little bit. Mark Spears and then Randy Ratcliffe. I got them all. They had some fantastic, not just stats, but also great stories whenever they gave their speeches out there. And in the middle of all that, this is where I was going. Before I had to introduce them, I had to give everybody an update on the state of athletics at William Carey, all the different highlights on the year.
Mm.
You want to talk about something that is hard to pare down, all the accomplishments of William Carey teams and the athletes in 2023-24.
Especially when you start talking about track.
I felt like whenever I was in the middle of talking that there was going to be another one that came in all over the telegram.
Yeah.
Well, there's over 200 teams in NAIA. Carey's number 10 as of last year, and they're going to be in that type of a conversation again this year.
Yeah. We were just talking about tennis. Tennis for men, they are ranked 7th. Women are 12th. They're probably going to fall down a little bit because they've lost their last four. Only one of those a conference game. But, the big one, though, that happened right before was women's golf.
Yeah.
Golf clap to them. Won the SSAC tournament title.
We need to clip that.
Absolutely. The Crusaders were down day one, but come back and win it, led by Nishikorn Papsipoom. And just take my word for it that is not how it's pronounced, but it's close enough. She was the lone player to finish under par for the tournament. And I'll go ahead and declare she is our Crusader of the Week.
Yes, it
is
a final deserved. Seven. Well deserved.
Okay. And so that is one of the biggest headlines for the past week. But another headline now as we look forward to this week is what softball has left to do.
Ooh.
If they win out, they win the SSAC regular season.
And perhaps 3 out of 4 in the right order.
Correct.
Sweet Mobile, you can split with Stillman.
Yes. So it's all about getting the right tiebreakers at that point. And Carey would have them with that scenario. But boy,
it's a tough, tall order to face off against these two teams that you've already split in the regular season with. You know, went 1-1 against Mobile at home. Stillman, you went 1-1. And now you get to host Stillman this time, but you have to travel to Mobile first. And you and I were talking about what is going to be the number of wins that Cary has coming out of this weekend. And I'm with you. I think it depends on the order, because if the right things don't happen at Mobile, who knows if they let that affect them going through the Stillman series.
Sure, emotionally.
Emotionally, yes. And this feels like it's a bit of an emotional team at times. You know, when they're not hitting together, or when you know some of the key players aren't hitting, they all kind of fall off that wagon sometimes.
It's just been amazing throughout the league this year to see. I think if you polled a lot of coaches, they would call it complacency. You know, I have, not to quote any particular coach or coaches, but complacency has been the word that has been floated around, because not a lot of teams have been sweeping this year.
That's true.
Splitting has been okay to this point. Now, all of a sudden, you're in a position where you're William Carey, where you don't have the luxury
now. Splits to give.
Right.
All because you got swept by UT Southern a couple weeks ago.
Correct. Right. Correct. You just needed a split there, and you ended up getting swept. So, I go back to the Mobile games at home. Arguably the best game of this season in game one, to turn around and score the leadoff run of the game, an unearned run, and end up getting one hit. Could have been no hit in that second game. Essentially, three All-American arms in that Mobile pitching staff. Ton of respect for that Mobile team. It's going to be a big, big challenge tomorrow.
And they have to do with the baseball team, or excuse me, they'll have to not do what the baseball team did this past weekend, and that is avoid giving up errors. Errors cost William Carey that middle game against Blue Mountain Christian. Could have taken that series otherwise, as they lost by two there. Series against, or doubleheader, I should say, against Stillman, the only home contests of the week for William Carey softball, Saturday at Joseph and Nancy Fail Field. Up until then, you've got SSAC tournament action for men's golf going on right now. Men's and women's track and field also having their tournament at Gulf Shores. A men's baseball team will be in action against Loyola Thursday for a single game, and then a doubleheader Friday. And women's softball, or just softball in general as it's known, doubleheader tomorrow against Mobile, and then that Saturday set with Stillman. Big week in athletics as the postseason comes on the horizon. That'll do it for us. For Will Tony and Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill. Good night, God bless, and go Satyrs.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.